Good morning.
Good morning.
So to start out, I'm going to ask a question. When was the last time you went out of your way to help a stranger? When was the last time you went out of your way to help someone who represents everything you are opposed to? When was the last time you helped someone that made you feel uncomfortable? It is human nature to be unwilling to help strange and unfamiliar people. How many of us have walked past a homeless person avoiding eye contact? We have all gone out of our way to avoid taking care of certain people, whether they be homeless, family, or even Democrats. I'm guilty of this on many occasions. I have been in my car, just driving around, and you see a homeless person on the corner asking for money. You want to help them, but at the same time you don't. It's really hard to not help them at all, and you feel kind of guilty about it. And that has happened to me time and time again. And I imagine it'll keep happening, regrettably. However, I cannot maneuver around what Jesus said when he speaks about how we should treat others. So let's turn to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to be reading verses 29 through 29, or 25 through 29. It says, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You have answered correctly,' Jesus replied. 'Do this, and you will live.' But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" So this man wants to know, what is the least he can do? What is the least he can do to fulfill the law? What's the lowest common denominator? Jesus is describing a relationship with God and a man, and this lawyer is describing a checklist. Can you imagine what your relationship would look like if it was based on a checklist? I imagine mine would fail with all of them, with girlfriends, with families, with friends. Relationships aren't based off of a checklist. In turn, we cannot fall into the same sin that this lawyer is confessing. Pointing out the specific group, individual, ethnicity, person that I must love. Jesus responds in Luke 10, 30 through 32. He says, "In reply, Jesus said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when they saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side." You can imagine that these two guys, the priest and the Levite, they were clean cut. They were holy men, basically. And it's surprising to see that these two men of God walked right past this beaten man, this stranger, if you will. And it is right to hate these two men, because what they did was absolutely wrong.
Now I have to disagree with that. I have to disagree with that statement. Doesn't Jesus himself say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Now, I'm not saying what these two men, what they did was right, but I can't necessarily think that what they did was wrong. We don't know who these people are. We don't know their ethnicity, their gender, their political party, their culture, or even their religion. How can we be sure that they deserve our blessings? We cannot even be sure what they will do with it. I have to ask this question of this man who was mugged. Why was he walking alone? Why was he walking in an area where mugging might happen? Doesn't that reflect poorly on his maturity or his inability to take care of himself, to defend himself? If this man is inherently weak, then why should we support him? If he's going to fail, why should we give him anything? And above all of that, the question I believe that deserves to be asked, and it is right when we do so, what if they take my blessing and do something I disagree with? What if they take my blessing and go and buy alcohol, drugs? What if they take my blessing and they go out and support something that I myself am opposed to? What if they take what I give them and abuse it? Not even to ask, what if they abuse me? What if one day I find out this person whom I've helped turns out to mug me in return? There's a lot of questions that we do not know. How can you be sure that these men are as wrong as you make them out to be?
Well, let's see what Jesus has to say. Verse 33-36. It says, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" So culture, ethnicity, religion, gender, and politics did not play a role in the Samaritan's motives, but compassion did. All the religion does not excuse inaction. Even Satan misuses scripture. Jesus upholds the Samaritan as the person who did the right thing. Therefore, the priest and the Levite did the wrong thing. The Samaritan did not seek to justify himself, but merely did what was right. He loved his neighbor. We must exhibit the same compassion as the Samaritan does.
And I must admit, Asa, you are right. It's probably the first and last time you'll hear me say that. Jesus paints us a picture of what we should be doing for one another. This social portrait is revolutionary, controversial, and insulting. And it was aimed squarely at the religiously arrogant and lazy. Think of the two people that he decides to use. First a Levite, and then a priest. This was extremely insulting to both a Levite and to a priest, because at this time, they were supposed to be the same thing. Imagine if someone were to come to you and say, "All right, there was a man in need, and then Doug walked by. And then a little later, a Christian walked by, and both did nothing." Wouldn't you find that insulting? Wouldn't you want to speak out against that and say, "But wait a minute, Doug and Christian, they're the same thing"? But yet Jesus is drawing a separation, a line in the sand between them. However, he is still answering the original question, both the intended and the unintended. Who is my neighbor? That is the intended question. That is what he is asking Jesus. But Jesus, I believe, is answering an unintended question, something that is below the surface. What is the least that I can do? If you want me to love my neighbor, then show me who that neighbor is, because hopefully there isn't a lot of them. Point out to me the group, that specific individual. Point out to me the person who is easy to love or easy to be a neighbor towards. And yet Jesus says something different. See, Jesus is drawing a difference between law and mercy, a checklist and a relationship. A checklist is to do something because Jesus says to. A relationship is doing it because Jesus has done it for you. When the law came and when the Jews took this law, they misinterpreted why Jesus gave it to them. The Jews saw this law and saw it as a checklist of things to do. And by that checklist, I might make myself righteous. And God never intended the law to act like that. The law was intended to show them that they needed God, that they needed grace, because the law is impossible, is seemingly impossible to fulfill. So we, Asa and I, must ask you, who are you in this story? Are you the neighbor? Who are you in this story? Are you the compassionate Samaritan? See, Jesus has redeemed you when everyone else has passed you by and left you for dead. We want to look at this story and thereby say, I am the Samaritan. That's why Jesus is telling me this story. It's so he can promote me as the hero. But that is not the point. Jesus is the hero. Jesus is the good Samaritan. Jesus is the person who takes care of us when no one else will. Jesus is the one who answers our prayers. Jesus is the one who shows us compassion and grace. We are the neighbor. It is you. You are the person who is left in the ditch. So what should we do with that? Shouldn't we be finding those people that have been passed by and left for dead? Shouldn't we be doing something, anything? The more we focus on what people are wearing, the words they use, their crazy haircuts, the difference in their culture, the music they listen to, the more we pass them by in the ditch. Hurt and suffering people do not need our judgment. They need our compassion. They require our love. We will finish with Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 37. He said, the one who showed him mercy, and Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This is your call. This is your challenge. The situations may vary. The people will vary. And it may make you uncomfortable. And you may ask a lot of questions. But you must go and love and serve and show compassion to those who need it. Because when you were in need and nobody else could care less about you, Jesus died for you. Jesus went to the cross so that you can look at God, so that you can see others through how God sees them, with compassion and love and mercy. So if you have any needs, if you are in need of compassion, if you are in need of love, in need of service, in need of anything, please come forward and make it known as we stand and worship God.